Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to a brand new episode of the I Want More Action podcast. I'm your host, Mr. Action, here with my co-host, Frankie Cranks.
What's going on, guys?
You can visit us at www.iwantmoreaction.com, where you can read reviews and listen to all our podcast episodes. Or you can find us on Instagram and Spotify by typing in I Want More Action as one word. So what movie are we reviewing today, Frank?
Today, Chris, we're doing Force of Nature, and Force of Nature is about a gang of thieves plan a heist during a hurricane and encounter trouble when a cop tries to force everyone in the building to evacuate.
This came out in 2020, directed by Michael Polish. It stars Emile Hirsch, Mel Gibson, and Kate Bosworth. Pretty good cast there.
It is a pretty good cast, yeah.
I'm not sure who Michael Polish is, but, you know, looking at the way the movie was filmed, it has some good cinematography.
It does. Yeah, you could tell they had a bit of a budget.
Yes.
So, yeah. I mean, it all does take place in one location, which kind of helped them probably.
But it's used very well.
It's used very well. And if you think about it, it kind of had to shoot it in one location. When the whole setup is that it's pouring rain outside, you need to be in a very limited location to pour rain on it, right? To pour water constantly.
It keeps you from leaving. Yeah. Why don't you just leave?
And also, it's really hard to film pouring rain scenes outside in the street.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, like, you have to be more closed off to actually get it. But no, they do all that, like, really well. And, like, you definitely believe that they're in a hurricane. Like, it's all believable. But yeah, I really enjoyed Force of Nature. I mean, for it's not a great action movie. It's more of a thriller. But it's a fun ride, though. Like, I didn't hate it. I wasn't bored. It's not nothing amazing. But, you know, if this was a straight-to-video release, it definitely kind of hold its own.
And I thought all the characters were, like, extremely likable.
Mm-hmm.
Emile Hirsch does a great job of being, like, this, like, tormented cop from something he did in his past.
Mm-hmm.
Mel Gibson's Mel Gibson. Like, you know, how could you not like Mel Gibson in a movie?
Yes, and he's definitely shooting up the scenery.
He would shoot it up a lot.
Yeah.
And even Kate Bosworth, I liked her character. Like, I'm not a big, huge fan of Kate Bosworth. I think she doesn't have a lot of, like, range.
Mm-hmm.
But in this movie, I thought she was really good, actually. She played Mel Gibson as a woman, like, the character. And I thought that came off really well.
Yeah.
No, but she plays his daughter.
Yes, it works. I think everybody's character is toned down just enough. Except for Mel Gibson's character. Everyone else is just toned down just enough to...
Like, well, at least he's not, like, screaming and ranting and shit. Like,
No, he's not.
He's just really playing New York cop, like to 10.
He's basically he's a dying New York cop living in Puerto Rico.
Yes.
But literally he has to leave because he has to get a working dialysis machine, and his daughter, who's a doctor, I believe, she knows that once the power goes out in the building, they're not going to have the machine's not going to work, and so he's going to be in a lot of trouble. But he just, of course, he's stubborn and doesn't want to go and doesn't care because he thinks he's going to die.
Now, there's a lot of, like, stupid side stories going on about, like, someone has a tiger in their house, and it's just all plot to keep certain characters out of the action scenes.
Yes. Yeah.
Or else, like they're not characters that, like, do action. So, like, to keep them out of it, one guy gets hurt, another guy has to stay with them.
Yeah. Yeah. It's basically to kind of, like, cover up plot holes that would be plot holes. They have to do something to kind of make it not so apparent.
Especially for the ending.
Yeah, especially for the
ending. Like, how are they going to get out of this? Oh, we have that one little MacGuffin we had through the whole movie.
Yeah.
Let's
use
it.
The whole time we're going to use it, yeah. And also, it's also a couple of things happen that force that MacGuffin to happen as well. Like,
the bad guy's
car gets destroyed, so they have to use the cop's vehicle. All these things do lead up to the ending. And we don't want
but
to
it's like,
it.
It's really contrived, the ending.
It's really contrived. It's really the odds of this happening in real life are, like, slim to none.
Yeah.
But again,
you'll see it a mile away as soon as they start, like, you start putting things together.
Yep, exactly.
You train the animal's trained to do this. Oh, let's put this shirt on. You're like, oh, here we go. I know where this is going.
Not to get too much into spoiler, but the guy has a mannequin of a ripped up cop suit
in his apartment.
If that's enough of foreshadowing, I don't know what is.
The guy with the pet tiger. You don't really see what it is. It could be a jaguar or something, but
it's a big cat. Yeah, some kind. Yeah. But even with all of that, though, the movie is still fun.
It's a fun film.
You know, it's not boring. It's not ridiculous where, like, you just kind of roll your eyes the whole time. Like, everything is actually pretty fairly believable, the whole film.
The only issue I had with the movie is, location-wise, you do get confused, like, upper-lower, upper-level, who's on the upper level, who's on the lower level, because everything just looks so alike when they're out of the rooms.
Yeah.
That you're like, wait, is he shooting up? Is he shooting down? What's going on here?
Yeah, it looks like they filmed every scene in, like, three hallways.
Yes, so it gets a little confusing.
They say it's different, but, like, it just looks the same from a different angle. They're just filming it, but everything looks... I mean, again, in an apartment building, that is what it looks like.
No,
like,
you're right. No, I agree.
You know,
but it doesn't... It just doesn't work.
No, it doesn't help. it doesn't help like the viewer to know what's going on, especially in a suspenseful movie where it's good to know where the bad guys are, where the good guys are. Like, mm-hmm. you don't have a sense, you don't have a spatial awareness of what's going on.
So they just say the apartment number, and I'm like, yeah, but every floor looks the same. You're not giving me that visual cue.
And also, there's a lot. It happens like about two or three times where, like, I guess it's okay once in a while in movies, but I hate when like the bad guy just pops up behind them.
I was gonna say that to you.
It happens like three times.
It does.
And it's like, you guys know they're looking for you, especially at what part where they go, Mel Gibson and the cop go to that guy's apartment with all the guns, and the bad guy just walks in. Wasn't the cop like watching the door?
Nope.
Like,
he was not watching the door.
Behind them, and I'm like, come on. Like, they do like two or three times also in the movies, not just that one time. And the guy was annoying me a little bit. I'm like, you guys know they're looking for you. You should be more aware of what's going on at your surroundings here.
Maybe close the door.
Yeah, exactly. Dumb little things where I'm like, why? You'd be smarter than that.
This is like supposed to be some genius Boston cop who trained, New York cop trained.
They're both cops, yeah.
Yeah. There's three cops in this movie.
Yeah, and they both have the worst sense of training.
They all make like really stupid decisions.
Yes, yeah.
But let me ask you this, Frank, especially with Mel Gibson. Do you think Mel Gibson's racist rants and threatening his wife when he got recorded hurt his career?
Absolutely. No, but it basically destroyed his career.
I think so too. Yeah.
I think if Mel Gibson wasn't, because listen, say what you want about whatever he did, but like, he's a good actor. Uh-huh. I think that's what saved him.
And he still has charisma.
He's actually a real good,
on screen.
He's a good actor. He has good charisma. Like, if he wasn't such a good actor with good charisma, he never would have been back ever again. But he's like so good that it's like, you know, like if once people, you know, the whole PR thing kind of dies down, it's sort of like people can accept him coming back more and more. But I don't think he'll ever be as big as he once was. He'll never be Lethal Weapon big, you know? Ever.
Yeah.
So, but still, it's great to see him still doing roles, because again, I do like me some Mel Gibson here and there, you know? Again, depends on the role. He's not good in everything. He's been in plenty of crap since, you know, the 80s. But as we saw with the other movie, Fat Man, and even with this, he still has fun with it. He can still be a good actor and do good parts.
I feel like Mel Gibson, like Liam Neeson almost fell into the Mel Gibson boat last year when he did this, did that stupid crap about going and looking for a black guy to kill when his friend was sexually assaulted.
Yeah.
And I was like, don't you know better than like to say things like this?
It's like all the students are writing you off as we speak. Like, they just crossed your name off of a list.
Your name got crossed off, and
it kind of did in a way. But you know what? At the same time, though, Liam Neeson was kind of only making the same kind of movie anyway. Like, yeah. I don't think
he just came out with one that looks the same as those other ones.
Exactly.
The Thief, Honest Thief.
Yes, I don't think it would have stopped those movies from being made.
Yeah.
But definitely, if he was in the running for any like kind of bigger role, like I don't know, some kind of like Marvel film they want him for, something that probably won't. I don't know if that'll happen in the future.
Not anytime soon. But his PR died down real quick. Like,
no,
it wasn't as big as Mel Gibson did.
No, well, Mel Gibson, it was like, there was anger and like, he was like, there was like viciousness and like.
He went after Jewish people really bad.
No, he went all in. Like Liam Neeson just kind of like, he was trying to like get out in front of something. He was afraid, I think, of somebody coming out and saying that about him.
Yes.
And then him being able to, him have to go on like.
Or he was just open, you know, he's from a different country and they have different culture. He could have just been opening up about something in his past.
Yeah.
And he doesn't realize how, you know, American culture is.
Exactly. Like, he's just trying to be open and honest about it, and then he doesn't know that people will use that against him immediately. Like, you know, especially on social media and on the internet.
But Mel Gibson was just, like, cursing Jewish people out and going crazy. Then he's caught, I'm going to kill you, to his wife.
Listen, this is like pre-internet kind of days. This is like pre-internet 2.0. This is before social media really was out there.
Yes.
And he got into a lot of trouble for it back then.
Uh-huh. So this is like, when Passion of the Christ came out.
Yes, yep.
That time is when he went nuts.
Yep. And so imagine if that was to happen now. Like, he never would have recovered from it, basically.
No.
You know?
He barely recovers, like you said. He barely recovers now. Like, he does. You don't see him in those parts that you think Mel Gibson would get.
Exactly. He'll still be headlining movies right now that never happened. He'll be like the main star in films right up to now in movies. But because of that, you know, you rub people the wrong way. People see you a certain way. It's bad PR for the movie. They just won't have it. But you can do smaller movies because PR isn't that. It's not that important when you're making like straight to video releases or even just smaller movies. It's not that important because they know it's all word of mouth anyway, so it's not really built on like these big marketing campaigns of putting his face out there, because they really can't do that with him anymore.
If they tried to like put Mel Gibson in a Marvel movie, everything he did in his past would come right back. It'd be all over the place.
Mel Gibson can't do, like, what do they call those? Like, the media circuits where they go to all the media outlets.
And no, they ask him, like, these questions.
They can't do that. He can't do that. He can never do that ever again. That's what I'm saying. Like, he has to do these low, small roles where he's not required to go out there and, like, be interviewed by 17 news outlets and magazines and everything. Because, again, exactly, he won't survive that, you know? It won't work out.
Well, he'll just lose his mind again.
Yeah, or exactly. Or something else will happen bad, so... So yeah,
but it's which kind of sucks because, like you said, I love myself some Mel Gibson, man.
Oh yeah, it's good. Mad Max and Lethal Weapon, all of it. Like a lot of his movies, he's really good in it. He was getting even up into that, you know, Passion of Christ. And he wasn't in; he was directing it. But people, that movie was huge.
Apocalypto was big too.
It was big, exactly. He was going places, but you know,
he was going to be a really big breakout director.
He was almost like Clint Eastwood. Like
yes, he was going to be big.
He could have been that. Like, he really could have made some serious big films, like directed big films, but like George Clooney. He's doing now, he's kind of shot himself in the foot a bit with
it. And like you said, like even not acting, even directing, no one wants to attach his name to their projects.
No, I think the only person after that, the first person was, I think, who was it? Not Helen Hunt, Jodie Foster. She directed a movie with The Beaver, and she's the first person.
Oh yes, yes.
Give him a chance. That was the first big movie he was in after the whole.
And it bombed.
And it bombed again. Same reason, because people probably were just like, "Oh, I really don't."
Not yet. Not ready yet for that.
I don't know if the general public will ever be ready again. Maybe he might be in like a few little movies like Force of Nature in the future. Maybe other things too. But again, I don't see him headlining a big picture anytime soon. Really.
I can see him like being in like the Nick Nolte role in like what was that? Angel is Fallen.
Yep.
Like, he'll be in a big movie, but he can't get that his name on top.
No, he's not going to be the star. It's not going to be like... Yeah. Even if they ever make a new Lethal Weapon, like a new one, he's going to be just a side character in it, really. I don't see him being like the main star. Even like Danny Glover, like they're getting up in age. Like,
Danny Glover's really old.
So I'm saying he's almost 70 now, dude. Yeah. Gibbs is almost 60. Like, so it's again, you're not going to have these guys doing what they did before, you know? But even watching this for Force of Nature, you can kind of see him getting down a little bit in the new, if they ever made a new Lethal Weapon movie. But
I could see him like there's like a younger, kind of like what they did with Bad Boys 3. Like, you know, if they did another Lethal Weapon, it'd be like they teach a younger group under their wing.
Yeah, we'd definitely have to really expand on that.
Because Bad Boys, they don't need it. They're still young. But these guys need it. They're in their 60s and 70s.
Danny Glover is like 70 years old.
This guy, I can't. Oh, Joe Pesci's like almost 80.
Pesci's like, he wouldn't be in it. Like, yeah, exactly. Danny Glover cannot be shooting people in the street anymore.
Like, no.
Danny Glover cannot be doing that. You know?
Like, he never did any of the big action scenes, Danny Glover, until the fourth one when they fight Jet Li. Like, it's just going to look ridiculous, him in car chases and stuff in 70-something.
It's so funny. I love it with Lethal Weapon, especially because the whole gimmick of the very first movie
is that he's too old for this shit.
And he's too old, he needs to retire. And, like, now it's like he's 70, he's still doing it. So, yeah, they're going to have to do something in the script to make
it more believable. It's funny because Liam Neeson's just as old as Danny Glover, but he doesn't look it.
He doesn't look it. And also, like, I think the way... You know, Liam Neeson is more physical in all his movies. Like, yeah. He's always been physical. Every movie he's been doing,
ever since Taken, he's been a physical actor.
Yeah. So I think he's his body, his attitude is more like geared towards that. Like Danny Glover, what has he done? What action movie has he done really past Lethal Weapon? Right, like
Predator 2.
Exactly. So it's like
that was probably his most stunt work he's ever done. It was in Predator 2.
Exactly. So I don't see, he never was an action person, so I don't see him becoming one at pushing 70, right?
No, I agree, yeah.
So, you know, we'll see if that ever happens.
If he even lives long, God forbid, but if he even lives long enough to get that type of movie off the ground, you know, that movie's been floundering since, what, 96?
Yeah, especially, right, I mean, they've been talking recently about trying to get off, but again, with COVID now, who knows, like, when it's ever really going to happen, so.
So, we'll be back in, maybe 10 seconds to leave you a message from our sponsor, and we're going to break down the action scenes in Force of Nature. We'll be right back. So what do you think of the fight scenes in Force of Nature, Frank?
The fight scenes are kind of limited. For what's there, it's good. It's a lot of brawling. It's a lot of like wrestling kind of on the floor, brawling. I gave it a 2 out of 5 just because I don't think it didn't have anything too special about it. There is something there for your average kind of action movie fan, but it's just nothing special. Again, these are regular people. Even the bad guys are like kind of more hitmen than they are like fighters. So there's no real
They're like thugs.
Like thugs, exactly. Yeah. So there's no quote unquote fight scene in this movie. They're just more of like, you know, wrestling guns away and punching people and hitting people and but jumping on people's backs apparently. But yeah, there's nothing like major going on.
I gave the fight a 3 out of 5, And the reason I did it is because I'm a sucker for a fight in the rain, and we don't get enough of them.
Yeah.
I just love fights in the rain.
There's one in this as well, yeah.
Yeah, and that's actually the big fight of the movie.
It is, yes.
It even starts with that fight, and then flash forwards to the rest of the movie.
Which was a weird thing. I thought
that was going to be the end of the film, were showing. It stops, halfway through.
Yeah, that's why it was weird. It was like, this is not the climax of the movie.
Why are you showing this?
This is the middle of the film right here. Show me again. It's a strange...
But I've always been a sucker for rain fights, and very few movies have them and do them well. I think Hero does it.
Yes.
When Donnie Yen fights Jet Li.
Yeah.
But there's not a lot of fights in the rain, and it's such a cool thing to do, and it probably cost a lot of money to choreograph and film.
Oh yeah, just because of the water that they
have. The water and everything. So whenever I get a rain fight, I'm a sucker for it, so I gave it a 3 out of 5. But you said, most of it's just brawling and punching and chokeholds and stuff. Yeah. But it is filmed well. The camera pulled back and everything.
No, it is. It is. It is. It's just, again, there's not much there to kind of...
No, there's not much. There's not much fighting. Even brawling wise, there's maybe 2 or 3fights.
Yes, exactly. If the brawling is limited.
Yeah. Stunts, I gave a 2 out of 5. Mm-hmm. There's not really any big stunts in the movie. Even during the fight scenes, like you said, it's more brawling and less stunt work.
Yep.
A lot of, rolling around, hitting people in, punching, kicking. There's not even, I think maybe there's one disarm the whole movie.
Yeah.
So that was a little bit of a letdown. Besides the rain fight, there is the part where they're hanging off the scaffolding, which was cool.
But even then,
I thought it was stupid too. So I'm like, how are you not shooting them?
Yeah. It's weird. It's very more like a forced perspective than stunts, because they're just kind of hanging off the edge.
I'm guessing there was stunt women hanging from it, because they did get pull back shots of it.
Yes.
On the screen.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I think a 2 out of 5 is all it deserves.
I think the same thing. It's 2 out of 5, because the only real stunt is when Emilia Hirsch and the bad guy fall over the edge.
Oh, that's a cool stunt. Yeah, I forgot about that. That's a cool stunt.
That's the reason why I gave it a 2 out of 5, was because of that. That was the coolest stunt in the whole movie. Everything else, like you said, there's no other stunts at
all. Only when they're hanging from the fire escape.
Yes. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Which, like you said, some of it's forced perspective, green screen, and I guess, like I said, there's a stunt person doing it too, but mm-hmm. it's not an amazing stunt.
No, it's typical, just movie special effects.
Yeah.
They're just up, they're up high, but it's forced perspective.
But that part when Emile Hirsch and the guy fly over the edge of the building and 3 stories down.
It's cool how they film and everything, how it looks. I was like, okay, that was pretty cool.
What did you do for special effects?
Special effects, I gave it a 3 out of 5 only because of the rain.
Mm-hmm.
How they made the rain look in this. It looks like they're in a storm. I believe that 100%. I mean, there's a part in it when they're in the eye of the storm, everything kind of clears up. But when it's raining, it's raining. And I believe that 100% that these people are getting poured on. And I know that's not easy to do in films, to create artificial rain like that. And it's consistent through the whole thing. And it kind of adds to the atmosphere of everything that's going on.
I also gave it a 3 out of 5. And I kept thinking during the film, are they really filming in the rain in the building, or are they just artificial and they're just using a lot of freaking water?
There's a lot of freaking water because you have to keep it going when you're filming. Yeah. You can't. So again, that's good special effects right there to make that look believable.
And also, all the gunshots and stuff that do happen in it are all practical. It's all no CGI. It's all squib work and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So we love that. So I think a 3 out of 5 was a good one for it. Mm-hmm. Chase scenes is none.
Yeah.
It all takes place in one building, and there's no running chasing.
And they're not even exactly. They're not even really chasing. They're just kind
of. It's more
hunting.
Of a cat and mouse.
Yes, they're
thing.
Hunting each other. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Exactly.
Shootouts. I gave shootouts a 2 out of 5.
Mm-hmm.
There's no really big shootout where they're going back and forth and taking cover and stuff like that.
No.
It's more like they see someone and they shoot at them, and then the other person runs away and gets cover.
Yeah, I gave it a 2 out of 5 too, because there's a lot of scenes where they're at the end of a hallway and they shoot and they go around the corner.
Yes, exactly.
Or they're behind a door and they shoot the door. That's it. Even with Mel Gibson, I thought he was going to get down in it. He really doesn't get down in it. He doesn't do too much shooting in it, really. I got excited because they go to a room with all the guns, and I'm like, all right, here we go.
The guy comes in and ruins it.
And then the movie basically takes a turn very quickly after that. And then, it's not as exciting gun action-wise as I thought it was going to be. I thought that's one thing this movie was going to have going for it, was the gun action. They're I'm thinking they're in a building, they're in one location, there's going to be good shootouts, there's going to be good, some good choreography, all that. And it was no, they actually sort of really, it's really limited. It's really it's almost like the guy's saving their bullets or something. They don't want to use them. I kind of felt what are they waiting for? I don't know. The guns were a little bit of a letdown, but what is there is competent, and what is there does feel realistic.
The whole movie's competent. That's what I would call this movie. Competent.
Yeah.
I also gave the shootouts a 3 out of a 2 out of 5 like you did. Overall, I give the movie a 2 out of 5.
Yeah,
like it's a fun. You know, as an action film, it's a 2 out of 5. Maybe as a movie, it would hit a 3 out of 5 because it is an entertaining film.
You know what it is? I think the acting is what brings it up.
Yes, for a regular movie. As three really good actors in it.
Yeah, and they really do hold all their own. They're fun characters. You know, I enjoyed my time that I had with the characters. So
and you root for all three of them too.
Yeah, there's no like annoying character.
No, not at all.
What I mean? Like usually it happens. At least was usually one character that's just annoying the whole movie. There's none of that. So again, as a movie, yeah, the movie it will get a better score. But as an action film, like if you want an action film. This is more of a suspense thriller. And even at that, it's just a competent suspense thriller. It's not even a really good suspense thriller.
Like I said, competence, the name of the day.
You know, so yeah, 2 out of 5 really for the I Want More Action podcast score because that's really what it is at the end of the day.
And recommendation-wise, you know, like if you're a big Mel Gibson fan, watch it. If you're in the mood for like, you know, like just a fun suspense thriller one day, you could watch it, but I wouldn't go out of my way to hunt this one down.
No, yeah, exactly. Don't waste, if you're going to watch something else you have in mind, watch something else probably. If you're really bored or whatever, sure, throw it on.
The movies we're actually going to recommend are better.
Yes, totally. Absolutely. Yeah.
So we both have the same first movie as been happening a lot lately. And that's The Doorman, which pretty much has the same plot, if you want to go over it real quick, Frank.
It's the same plot minus the rain. It's basically an apartment building, empty of people, except for a few people. Thieves come in because one of the residents of the building has a very expensive art collection that they want to steal. But, of course, the person who has it also originally got it during World War II.
It's a running theme. Yeah, same plot.
Both Nazis that had stole artwork, and now they're in other countries with it. But of course, in The Doorman, there's a woman who's an ex-Marine. I think she's a Marine.
Yeah.
Who basically got a job as a doorman of the building because her brother-in-law lives in the building with her family. And of course, she goes all,
Commando.
A la John McClane in Die Hard. And she has to basically stop the thieves from killing her
family. Now, this is a straight-up action flick, though.
And it's a straight-up action. Yeah. And it's a lot of action. It's a lot of fighting.
It's good action, too. It's
good action, good fighting in it. So definitely check out The Doorman before you check out Force of Nature.
If you're obsessed with this, people take over empty apartment building plots,
or if you like art heists,
art thieves, movies. Yeah,
yes, this is right up your alley.
So my second movie was The Second with Ryan Phillippe and Casper Van Dien.
Yeah,
you know this is a really low budget film, but we still gave it a good rating because it's still fun.
It's a fun movie. It's really dumb, but it's fun though.
Yes.
Don't expect like a smart movie. It's really stupid, but it's just a fun film. If you can just go in there, turn off your brain, you have a good time with it.
It's a Die Hard clone.
Yeah.
But the action scenes are very competent.
Yes.
And they're fun.
You feel like at least they paid attention to that.
Yes.
You know, the script's weak, but like at least the action is pretty good. The fight scenes are pretty good. Everything.
And it has decent shootouts and stuff. Like it's another fun film for this take over a building style movies we're talking about.
Yes, exactly.
What's your second one?
My second one is Hard Rain.
Woo! Christian Slater,
Morgan Freeman, and Randy Quaid. Yep.
Quaid and Minnie Driver, right?
Yeah, Minnie Driver. I haven't seen a movie in years. I believe Christian Slater is armored car guard.
Yes. And is it what's his name? Lawrence Fishburne's the other one, and they get
Morgan Freeman. Morgan Freeman, well, I think.
He's the sheriff of the
Yes, he's the sheriff. Yes,
there's a lot of characters like in this. They all start playing each other.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. But it's the whole thing where there's a heist going on during a big storm.
Yes,
and basically Christian Slater gets caught up in the middle of it and has to like stop.
But this storm is like the water's like roof high.
Oh,
it's ridiculous.
No, it's literally like they're swimming in a street. Like it's not like a little storm like Force Nature. It's a full on like flooding.
They have boats and they're like going across like chimneys.
They're in buildings and up to the ceiling. Like almost drowning and stuff like it's crazy,
the stunts in this movie are crazy.
The stunts is good. The suspense in the movie is amazing. The movie still holds up, and it came out like in the 90s.
Out either right before or right after Broken Arrow.
Yes,
it was like Christian right on that little run with like True Romance, and
he kept on hitting him.
He kept on hitting him out of the park.
Yeah,
Broken Arrow is another one that's freaking
great one. Yeah, absolutely.
Nothing to do with this type of movie, but
no, but it's still
talking about Christian Slater, like.
Yeah,
he had a career. We need to talk about Christian Slater one time because
he has a very, very extreme but short-lived like
action career.
Like, you know what I mean?
It was three movies and then like it was over, but they were all awesome.
It was like three years in a row he had a great movie. Some years he had two movies. Like we have to look into that and see. But yeah, definitely for Christian Slater.
But I love Hard Rain. It's one of my favorite of the 90s. 90s. Mm-hmm. It's so 90s that it's not even funny.
It's so 90s, but again, it still holds up, though. You can still watch it today.
All the effects are practical, because back then, like, I'm sure there's some CGI, but it's mostly practical effects, and these people are holding their breath for a long time.
They literally had to build probably all these locations in some kind of giant pool or something.
Yeah,
exactly, to fill up with water, because literally almost all this movie is underwater. Like, almost all of it.
All the stunts happen underwater, on a boat, or on a roof with water touching the roof. Like, it's crazy.
Yes, yes.
I haven't watched that in a while. That's when we're gonna be doing Hard Rain soon, ladies.
We'll do a nostalgic review.
Yes, we'll do a Christian Slater week. With that and Broken Arrow,
definitely, and we can't forget Alone in the Dark as well. That classic,
that's where his career went down the toilet.
Classic,
Jason Statham saved himself after what was that? Warcraft?
No, Dungeons and Dragons. Oh my god,
Dungeon Siege.
Yes.
Christian Slater just like, nah, I can't save myself after this one.
No, you know what it was? I think at the time. What's his name? Jason Statham.
He hasn't hit it big enough yet.
He was coming up still. He was coming up.
He had two Transporters and then did that garbage.
Yes, but he was still on the. He was still coming up, though. Christian was kind of on his way out, and he did Alone in the Dark. It was a nail in the coffin for him. I mean, he's been in other stuff, but he's never been the action hero, the action star after that, really.
And that's just like straight to DVD, and I just don't know about it.
Yes. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. We'll have to see. We'll look him up.
It kind of sucks, though, because Christian Slater has a lot of charisma.
He does.
He's good on screen.
He is. No, he's a good actor, but I just think,
I think he fell into drugs and stuff, if I remember correctly, and he had a rough patch.
He might have, and also I just think in a lot of ways, he was very iconic of the 90s, and so people see him still as that, iconic of the 90s, and not so much of, modern day.
That Brat Pack, him, Leonardo. Yeah. I know that a lot of them have better careers, like Leonardo DiCaprio and Corey Feldman.
Yes. I mean, I know his biggest thing recently, he was in Mr. Robot. I know he's in that, but that's not an action.
He was in another show before that, too, for a while.
Yeah, he's been in a few, TV stuff.
Yeah.
And I heard he's really good in it, but, in terms of, action films, no, he really hasn't been in action film in a while. Maybe there's straight to DVD stuff, or maybe straight to video stuff.
Some stuff even, Johnny Depp was a side character in that Antonio Banderas. Once Upon a Time in Mexico.
Oh, yes.
He might have had roles like that where he's an action side guy.
Yeah.
I just can't think of that right now.
Yeah. You'll have to see. We'll have to look him up.
Yeah, I'm curious about Christian Slater's career now in the action realm. Because
introspection.
He had one. Enough. He had one ready to go.
No, he did. He was on
He was, top. Ready to be the next big action
he
star.
He was next with, John Travolta up there, man.
Oh,
like,
yes,
he was,
yeah.
Like I'm saying. Like,
him, Cage, and yes. Slater.
Yeah, no, he was ready, man. He was primed for it. Who knows? Maybe it was a bit of maybe it was drugs or diva. Who knows what? We don't really know. We should do some research and find out.
Yeah, I am curious.
We'll see.
But that's our review of Force of Nature and a lot of other useless information we gave you on Christian Slater.
Hope you guys enjoyed that.
This is Mr. Action signing out.
And this is Frankie Cranks. Until next time, guys.